Be prepared, for I am coming in a way you've not experienced before, says the Lord. Be prepared for change. That is for your good. But it may not always appear that way to you. For I am shaking everything that can be shaken. And I love those that have been shaken out. Some will return. For those of you that are enduring the shaking, know that I am pleased, says the Lord. But I counsel you. Be prepared for what is coming. For I am coming. I am coming, says the Lord, in a way you've not experienced before. My presence shall, what's that word? Overturn what you know. Overturn what you've seen. Overturn what is familiar. But it will also overturn all that the enemy has done. And you will see many lives saved, bodies healed, families restored, and ministries launched. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. For I am coming, says your Lord. In one of the prophecies in the blueprint, he mentions, he said, we all know he's here. We all know God's everywhere. But he says, I am coming with my presence in such a way that it'll be difficult for people to stand or even leave the building. Church, as we've known it, is about over. And I, for one, am glad about that. At least I hope I am. When he gives you a warning like that, it's like, okay, I better brace myself. Pinch together two places, Ephesians chapter 3 and Acts chapter 2. I am excited about this message today. I'm excited about nearly all of them, as you can tell. By the way, I sent Alan a text after his message this morning, which was just phenomenal. I said, that was a great message, and here's how I can tell. My flesh hated it. My spirit loved it. My flesh hated it. That's a good message. Hallelujah. All right. Again, we're going to continue speaking about the spirit of might. Last week we talked about Christ in you, and that's more than, Christ is not his last name. We say Jesus Christ so much, we tend to forget. That's not his last name. Christ means, that's the Greek word for the Hebrew Messiah, and it means the anointed one, see? And we were looking at Ephesians 3 last week, where that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. But he's writing this to born-again people. Now, I'm not going to reteach last week's, but he's writing this to born-again people. Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah. He says, well, I'm going to teach more of it than I thought. So he's having me back up here about three lessons. Okay. The beginning of the Christian church at Ephesus, you can read about it. I believe it's Acts 19. Paul came and he found certain disciples. And when we read that word disciples, we think Christians. But they weren't Christians, not yet. They were disciples of John the Baptist. He asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we've not even heard there even be any Holy Ghost. Well, what were you baptized to? We were baptized to John's baptism. And he's talking about John the Baptist. So John's first message, his primary message, was repentance to prepare the way of the Lord. And they must have heard him fairly early in his ministry, because John also said, there's another one coming after me, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to latch or unlatch. He is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Well, they must not have ever heard John preach that, or otherwise they would have known there's such a thing as the Holy Ghost. But they're saying we don't even know that there is such a thing as the Holy Ghost. So it tells you in Acts there that Paul went ahead and he started with John the Baptist, and he said, now the rest of his message was Christ, and he preaches Christ and him crucified to them. They believe, and how we know that is they get baptized, it says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Definition, they got saved. They got born again. That's where your Christian church at Ephesus begins. Now that, even Apollos, we backed up last week, even the chapter before, Apollos was their main teacher. But even Apollos, it says, he only knew the baptism of John. He didn't know either. So Priscilla and Aquila taught him the same way Paul taught these other 12. And so then from that point on, then Apollo, he knew to teach that Jesus is the Christ. Okay, kind of a review. But see, that is the start. And it's so important that we know that, because this, the beginning, this church at Ephesus became one of the most mighty churches that we know about in the New Testament. It was powerful and it was big. Some estimates say that by the time Timothy became the pastor, there was like 100,000 members, okay? Big church. And it's important to know that the core that started it off were not only saved, they were filled with the Holy, because it says Paul laid his hands on them, they got filled with the Holy Ghost, and it plainly says they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Well, that's a good church, isn't it? Baptized in the name of Jesus or saved. Been baptized in the Holy Ghost, pray in other tongues, prophesy. Sounds like a lot of charismatic churches today. But then it's the amazing thing, I guess we'll start in Ephesians 3, I didn't know where he was going for sure. It's an amazing thing that Paul here in chapter 3 prays this prayer for them, starting in verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. His Father's Day, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He's the ultimate original Father. But Paul's praying something to him, that he would grant you, and that word grant simply means give, just like you would think, like a child would go to a father, please give me a new bicycle, or like a granddaughter would go to her Mimi, please give me a new bicycle. Okay? Well, that the Father would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, now notice, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit, capital S, and it should be, in the inner man. Last week we went on to verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Let's stop for a moment. Didn't they already get saved? Last week we went back to Romans 8 and said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So we know these people are born again. They've got this new, what we call the new nature usually. Jesus at one point called it the light of life. In Romans, Paul called it the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. They've got that new nature in them, see? So in that sense, Christ is in them. But here he's saying, I'm praying this so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Well, isn't he already there? But see, what he's talking about here, that spirit of might, the actual Greek word for might there is dunamis. Now, dunamis is where we get our word dynamite. It's also translated virtue in the New Testament. When that virtue, it says, flowed out of Jesus into that woman with the issue of blood. That's power, my friend. It's virtue. It's dunamis. It is the anointing that comes by the Holy Ghost. And Paul is praying not that they would have the life of Christ on the inside, but they'd have the anointed one. Christ the anointed one on the inside. That they be strengthened with this dunamis, this power. See, in John G. Lake, about 100 years ago, he wrote a little letter from Africa, which is in one of the books by him, about him. And he was writing to a friend, and he says, I'm seeing something that's strange, because up until this point, anyone that he ever saw that got baptized in the Holy Ghost, just right away, they were operating in power. But he says, I'm seeing a strange thing. People are getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. They can pray in tongues, they can prophesy, but they don't manifest any power. I don't understand that. Well, I didn't either. Trouble it is, you fast forward to today, say, John G. Lake, we got churches full of people just like that. They love God. They're born again. They got Christ on the inside of them. They've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, just like this bunch here. They could speak in tongues. They can prophesy, most of them. But yet they don't manifest any, can I say, dunamis? So this prayer is becoming very interesting to me because Paul is praying for them. Now I say it again, born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, prophesying people, that they be strengthened with dunamis. Notice it's worded perfectly. By His Spirit, that's the Father's Spirit, that is the Holy Ghost, in the inner man. Who is that inner man? I want to have Alan come up and do an hour-long service. He taught more on that than anybody I know. That inner man is you. That's the born-again you. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit who indwells you, that you be filled with this, how did he word it? Strengthened, not filled, strengthened with dunamis. By the Holy Spirit, let me say it that way, in your inner man. And when that happens, now the Anointed One dwells in your heart. The Anointed One. Amen? Now, with that thinking in mind, now we're probably coming back here. I don't know for sure. I never know for sure. Go over to Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now they'd been tarrying there for 10 days because Jesus said, don't leave town. Don't even go in my name to preach this gospel until you've been endued with power. You shall receive power. And by the way, that's the same Greek word dunamis, after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Well, so they didn't know how long he was going to be there. It turned out to be 10 days, roughly, because God poured it out on the feast day of Pentecost. Okay. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Now keep that in your mind today for what's coming. A rushing mighty wind. Now these are born. Would you say these people are born again? Well, absolutely. The reason they're in, you got to believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Well, he raised from the dead is the one told him to go to this upper room. I'm pretty sure they believe that. Okay. And he's definitely their Lord because they're doing what he said. Okay. By definition. All right. So these are born again people. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, you can probably stand up and preach that verse. Nearly everybody here could preach just like crazy in a good way on that verse. But see, we're on a quest, Q-U-E-S-T. We're like, all of us are like archaeologists. We're digging down through 2,000 years of religious rubble that has been covering up the original foundation stones of truth that was laid down by Jesus and the first apostles. And we've had to discard a lot of trash. Sadly, we're still having to discard trash as we dig down through here. But we are determined that this house will be built upon the foundation stone of Christ and Him crucified, and all of it says the foundation of the Christ and the apostles. Okay, and the first church, they went from house to house. Every convert, they were taught the apostles' doctrine. Well, what was the apostles' doctrine? We've already been through that. Jesus said, "I want you to go and I want you to teach all of them exactly what I taught you." Okay, all right. So we've been like archaeologists praying in other tongues, meditating the word. I thank God again for our pastor, Dave Roberson, who lovingly but relentlessly, I like that combination, lovingly but relentlessly, took us through again and again and again how to meditate the word of God in whole images, how to assimilate the word of God, how praying in other tongues releases the teaching anointing of the Holy Ghost, and taught us about dreams and visions and revelations. And, you know, We'd hear it so much, we'd almost like, oh, surely this conference will go somewhere else. Surely this conference will be something new. And the very first thing, open up to Romans 8, you know. Here we go again. And he'd lay it out again. Well, thank God that he did. Because this year in particular, the Holy Spirit came with that, what we're calling the blueprint for 2020. And when he says to this bunch, and I don't mean just here in Tulsa, but this bunch, those around the world that have locked arms with us, that are pushing into revival, that's already been, yeah, I'm going to say it again. Most likely, if you're associated with this group, you're already praying more than 90% of the pastors in the world. Now, that's just the truth. Okay? And to that group, to that bunch, worldwide, the Holy Ghost says, give me this year in prayer like you've never prayed before. I got one yep. And he said a year. Not just during COVID. A year. Why? Because he tells us in there. There's many reasons why, but the essence is now it's time for intimacy. We've grown up enough. You know, eventually you got to get out of kindergarten. Eventually you got to get out of the playground. Eventually we got to, you know, when I was a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, I wanted to play with toys, okay? Alan's message was kind of along that line. You know, I wanted a better house. I wanted a better car. And God did us with, you know, we could tell you faith stories. But you got to grow up. You got to grow up. He's calling us to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ to be transformed into that image so he can use us the way he wants to use us in this revival. Okay? So we've all, in a way, been like archaeologists. We're still digging down through the rubble. I'm not walking in everything that I'm seeing. But somebody's got to go and spy out the land and come back and give a report. Let's all go possess it. Amen? I'm not even pretending. You're supposed to be laying hands on the sick as much as any pastor and see them recover. Okay? And he did not tell us to go pray for the sick. He said, go heal the sick. And he's talking to, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Amen. Hello, all flesh. Glory to God, I'm preaching good now. Well, so God, it's just amazing. Because he told me years ago that one of the answers I was looking for is in Ephesians. Well, we sat through Ephesians. You endured me for a year. I think I taught on Ephesians for a solid year. And I didn't tell you, but I was so disappointed when that ended because we still weren't raising the dead and, you know, cancer being healed every time we prayed and that type of thing. And I'm telling you right now, that is absolutely the will of the Father. Cancer should run like a scalded dog when you walk in the room. I absolutely believe that. Darkness has no business being in the same room with light. It just doesn't. But anyway, I was disappointed. Well, now he's taking me back again and he's showing me this, what we just looked at, that what I've been teaching here for the last 3 or 4 weeks. That was not in those lessons back then. Why? Because just like Dave says, we want the roof answers. We want answers to our roof questions, you know. And he says, God can't give it to you till you allow the Holy Spirit to lay the foundation. And then he's got to build these walls of revelation knowledge, and it's line upon line. You cannot understand this next thing until you understood that last thing. And upon that last thing, I can build the next thing. And the walls, Dave would say, have to come up pretty uniformly, you know. But eventually, and I think we're getting there now, you get your foundation laid, you get the walls built. Bless God, I believe we're about ready to see some roof answers here. He's about to lay some roof on us, see? Because this is amazing to me that this is even in here. Now, the timing of the Lord is amazing. He brought that the second time. I don't know why he likes this analogy. See, we have a nursery back here with precious children that we would lay our life down for. Not just the parents, just about anybody here would lay their life down for them. And because we love them, we don't put knives in the nursery, I'm talking about sharp knives, for the children to play with, do we? Why? Well, they're not able to handle them. They're immature. They're our precious, lovely, lay our life down for you child, but we're not going to give you a hunting knife to play with, you know? But see, that same child, 40 years later, if that child becomes a world-class surgeon, and uses scalpels every day, boy, we're just so proud and so pleased, see. There's different rules for adults than there are for children. We're growing up. We're growing up. You hear me? Boy, you're either listening or hallelujah. So the timing of the Lord is amazing. And sometimes He can only bring you things when you're ready. You have to grow up a little bit. At first He gives you a plastic knife. The kind that comes with McDonald's, you know. You give you a little plastic knife. And then maybe you get a spork. You know what a spork is? So He gives you what you can handle at the time. But see, I'm telling you what he and it's all the Lord. People don't even realize they're being used by God. But a friend of mine sent me a video within the last 2 weeks. And we're going to play it for you here in a minute. Now, this one builds. You remember, what was it, 2 years, however long ago it was, that we did a service and we had like 3 or 4 different videos showing fire tornadoes. Do you remember that? And the lesson was trying to show the baptism of fire and who it is, the Holy Ghost really lives in you. And those were good and needful and helpful, I think, at the time. But I wasn't really ready for this one. I wasn't really ready for this one. I don't know that it would have impacted me then. So God had to wait, line upon line. Gary's growing, precept upon precept. Gary's understanding better, line upon line. Oh, friend, send Gary this video. So they sent it to me, and there's a lot of silly stuff on it that I edited off. Now, yes, sir. A good teacher tells you what I'm going to tell you. Then I tell you. Then I tell you what I told you. Let me tell you a little bit ahead what you're going to see. They're doing an experiment, these guys. And they've got a, looks to me like a number 9 wash tub. You know, number 9 wash tub. That sounds weird if you're from Pottawatomie County. Wash tub. Anyway, it's a galvanized tub. And they're putting about a half inch of kerosene in it. And then they light it. Okay, so you've got a vessel, can I say oil in it, and they light that and it's burning. Then they do an experiment. I'm going to read you one verse and then we're going to dim the lights and play the video. Let me read you the verse. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Play the video, please.
So we've got about 1/2 inch of kerosene in there. Just going to light it, step back and let it build up, and then we'll turn the fans on, okay?
All right.
I'm ready on a phantom. Here we go.
Yeah, that's lit.
Okay, just let it build up.
Go for it.
Yeah. It wasn't hot enough.
Look at that.
It's literally a perfect spiral. Look at that. That's wicked.
Thank you.
Now, is that amazing or what? Now, we've got some, you might want to write a few things down. I don't know if you want to or not, but this is a lesson today. See that verse, and there suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven. Cloven means separate, distinct, and individual. Okay? Tongues of fire, like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. I am absolutely convinced. You know, there was an old painting that I hate that shows a little bitty candle flame on top of people. That is not it at all. I think they saw I think there was 120 of those in that room. Individual, separate, Holy Ghost blowing on the fire of the new life on the inside of them. The combination of that life of Christ with the anointing of the Holy Ghost produces the anointed one in you. When you walk in a room, I'm sure the devil sees you like that. Is it still there? Good. Sees you like that. And you read those prophecies. It says when you walk in the room, you are light. You're coming in with the answer. You're coming in with the anointing. And you always have the answer. Because the anointed one is on the inside of you. This is Christ in you. Oh my goodness. My goodness. I believe there was 100. I believe they saw each one of them in a vision saw something like that. Not a little candle flame on their head. I have come to baptize. When He comes, He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Baptize doesn't mean put a candle on your head. Baptize means you are immersed in that fire. Baptized in it. That is who He's raising up, and that is you. Getting Him, and that's Christ in you, but it's you. That Christ, the Anointed One, may dwell in your heart by faith. By faith means you've got to believe this. Let's look at some notes here. First off, you've got to understand that vessel. Now here they're using a galvanized number 9 wash tub, I think. Grandma had one. But you could use a clay pot if it was fired. You could dig a hole in the ground if it was clay-like and put kerosene in there. The vessel doesn't change. I got to tell you this. This is Alan's message. The vessel is not having fun while the burning is going on. There's nothing pleasant for the vessel there. Isn't that right? All right? Now, they're using kerosene as fuel. And at first I thought, well, because, see, Scripture tells us that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And the way He showed it to me that first time, I first saw the candle lit. Then I saw the fire tornado and the two came together. Remember that? And I could see that candle. So I knew the candle and the tornado were one thing, but they were two things. But they're one thing, but they're two things. Okay? It's the light of my reborn lit spirit baptized in the fiery tornado. Okay? Now, that's one way to describe it. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Y'all ever hear the parable of the 10 virgins? Because there they had a lamp. And that lamp was filled with what? Kerosene is an oil, isn't it? So let's talk about a lamp filled with oil. Number one, don't let your oil run out. You can, you know. That's what the 10 virgins warning is all about. Don't let that run out. But that's not the message today. Here's some things to think about. I've been watching this thing. I don't even know how many times I've watched this thing. The listening for the teacher. Did you notice? I call it the kerosene / candle. Doesn't matter whether it's a lamp or a candle. Did you notice it can't light itself? See, your candle had to be lit. Jesus said, no one lights a candle and puts it underneath the bed. So, Jesus had to light your candle. You had to get born again, see? You can't light your own candle. But I'll tell you, in the lamp analogy, He can't light a lamp that has no oil. And the oil you get from him. Anyway, a candle is set. Jesus said, no one lights a candle to put it under the bed. You light it so that it'll give light, okay? So now, the initial lighting of the flame in this video, that represents the new birth. You got that? He lights your candle. He lights your lamp, all right? And that's when you receive that light of life that empowers us to walk above sin. See, in that vessel right there, the fire at first, before they turn the rushing mighty wind on, the fire is contained within the vessel. It doesn't extend beyond the vessel, does it? It's contained there in the vessel. Dave would teach us, like, right along that line, he said, that new man on the inside of you, it knows the things of a man. It doesn't extend beyond you, but it's inside of you, and it empowers you personally to walk above sin. That's the light of life. And thank God we've got that light of life, but it doesn't extend beyond you. It's pretty well contained within the vessel. That is the light that you walk by, and then you can share the gospel with other people. If they receive it, their candle gets lit. But it's an individual thing, see? So it empowers us to walk above sin, but that light is pretty much contained within our own vessel. It does not extend beyond us automatically. People don't get saved just because you walk in the room, do they? You got to share with them. Okay. Now, that kerosene / candle, it burns at a certain level once it is lit. And as long as there is a fresh supply of oil, that candle, that fire is going to keep burning. Isn't that right? Well, now this is important. That vessel with the burning kerosene, it has no capacity to produce a rushing mighty wind. That's important. You are not, I'm going to do a message sometime called, "You Are Not Your Own Wind." Well, that's where you try and do it yourself. See, that's not what Paul's praying. He's praying you be strengthened with dunamis by his Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. You are not your own wind. You can't produce this. You can receive it, but you can't produce it. But what's amazing to me, the flame that's already there, that flame is there. It's a good flame. God's happy with that flame. He's glad you got saved. He's glad you're living above sin. He's glad for all of that. But he has something more in mind than just you walking above sin. Here, the 2020, the blueprint for 2020, I keep hearing segments that come rise up out of it. God says, I didn't intend for your joy to just be on the level of you being able to live above sin. I want you to have joy with that. But that's not the level I want you to walk in. No, I want you to rise up to where your joy is that you have dominion over the world. Well, that's not just sin. That's cancer. That's everything that Satan is the god of. That's sickness, disease, demons, everything in the world. See? There has to be an external source of a rushing mighty wind to blow on, could I say, join with the flame. And when that happens, when the wind and the fire come together, did you see what happens? It produces something that did not exist before. And that flame, if you'll notice, that tornado, now it extends beyond the vessel. You see that? Did you notice that one guy says, he's standing way over there, maybe, what, 15 feet away, maybe 20 feet away, and he's going, whoo, I can feel that. You remember the first definition of the word dunamis? The first word in Strong's, force. You can feel it. That woman with the issue of blood, she felt when that dunamis flowed into her, and Jesus felt it when it flowed out. See, force, you can, by definition, force, you can feel. We live in Oklahoma. Does wind have force here? Oh, good God. You got to build your house like Fort Knox just to stand up, you know, against one. A tornado comes through. Man, we've got all the ingredients. You've already got that fire. You are the number 9 washtub. your body is, your flesh is the number nine washtub. You've already got the flame burning on the inside of you. You've got the light of life. Now we've got this Holy Spirit. He is the rushing mighty wind. And Paul is praying that they join up in a way that it hasn't happened before. Otherwise, why pray this? That this dunamis, that they be strengthened with dunamis. See, and if, go back to Ephesians 3. Because he keeps praying till we get down to verse 20. And he says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Him. Who is him? Who are we praying to? God the Father. But it's Christ in you. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But it's according to something. According to the power that works in us. And it's that same Greek word, dunamis. It's got to be working in us. Well, from what I'm seeing, that takes a constant blowing. I got a new prayer. Blow, Holy Spirit. Wind of God, come. Blow on this fire. Let blow on our, I receive the spirit of might. See, if you're going to pray this, I don't have Paul or, yes, sir. God damn. What did you hear, Gary? Calm down. Yes, sir. I want to run four lessons ahead right now, and I can't because it's line upon line. Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. See, we don't have Paul here praying that for you. So what if you prayed that for yourself? There's no point in praying it unless you believe you receive it. Goddamn. Boy, I want to run ahead. No, I can't. I'll give you this much. When they asked Jesus to teach them to pray, there was a reason why. See, I used to say Jesus would have revival and then he would go pray all night to the Father. And then Jesus would have revival and then he'd go pray all night to the Father. And that's not really true. What's true is this. Jesus would go pray with the Father and then he would have revival. And then he would go pray with the Father and then he would have revival. See, this is Acts 3:19, I believe it is, were times of refreshing. That's reviving, revival. Fresh breath comes. Fresh breath, wind, comes from the presence of the Lord. And that word presence is most often translated face. See, this is built, what's today is building on stuff he's taught us already. You get this in his presence. This, again, it's the picture that couldn't be more clear. It's fresh breath that comes from the face of the Lord. I'm going to look at the camera. This is spiritual CPR. Live, little creature. Live. I'm breathing fresh breath. I'm blowing. There's a wind coming into you, blowing on that flame. And it comes from the presence of the Lord. We go and we spend time with him. Then we have revival. And we go and we spend time. Does that remind you of anything? Come away with me, my beloved. Spend time with me. No wonder the blueprint for 2020. If you had to just sum it up in one sentence, I would call it, come away with me, my beloved. Spend time in my presence. Spend time. Let me breathe fresh breath. Let me blow on your flame. Let my spirit blow like a rushing mighty wind until he kindles this tornado and we become the answer everywhere we go. That's what he said in those prophecies. That's what he said. No wonder he's telling us to spend time with him alone. Get alone with him. Get in his presence where the times of refreshing, that's where it comes from. From his very presence. Well, I don't know if you're getting anything out of this, but I'm preaching myself happy. Now let me read this one here. The combination of the flame and the wind, produced a fire tornado. It's almost exactly like the vision. Those of you that were here when we played those visions of the fire tornado before, it's almost exactly like that, that the Holy Spirit has been showing me through a series of visions now for years. But in that first one, I could still see the lit candle inside that fiery tornado. Now, one thing you need to notice, I made this note, I've been meditating on this video a lot. We may play it again here in a minute, just good for you to see it. You know, once it's going, let me ask you, what happens if they unplug the fans? It'll return to its original state. The fire will still be there, right? But the power that extends beyond the vessel won't be there. You can, those guys could walk up closer because they can't feel the force of the heat anymore. Isn't that right? Well, there's your church. There's the church right there. Now, let me ask you this. There's another question, all right? What if we unplug the fans? Well, it's going to return back to its original flame. What if we never replenish the kerosene? Five of the 10 virgins, they let their oil run out. Our friend Jamie Legault, she did a message maybe 2 weeks ago now, or a week ago. You can find it at Jim Martin's website. You spell Legault, LEGAULT, Jamie. The name of that message, I recommend it to everybody. Time is the currency. Time is the currency. That's why the 10 virgins could not share of their oil with the five. Or I may have the number. You know what I mean. The ones that had oil, they couldn't share. No, you have to go get your own oil. And time, you can't buy it. But time with him is the currency. I had to call her on that one. Said, Jamie, this is it, Jamie. If you hear this message, this is the one and only time I'm giving you credit. From here on, that message is mine. Anyway, hey, you may serve me a steak. Once I eat that steak, that's my steak. Anyway, that was good. Boy, that was really good. But you can see it. If you unplug the fancy, you don't spend time with the Holy Ghost and the, if you unplug those fans, well, first off, the flame is just going to come back and you can still walk above sin, but there's be no power. People can't feel that heat anymore. But then if you don't ever spend time with him, if you don't keep that oil replenished, kerosene or whatever it is, well, eventually that's going to go out. It did not end well for the virgins when their fire went out. Excuse me, when their oil ran out. All right, that's another message. Now, go to Hebrews 1:7 and also Psalms 104. This one you need to see in your Bible. 104. Boy. Hebrews chapter 1. Now really this passage here is in Hebrews. Very familiar verse. It's talking about angels. And it's really this passage in chapter 1. The writer of Hebrews is showing the superiority of Jesus over the angels. In the Hebrews, he shows the superiority of Jesus over Moses. He shows the superiority of Jesus over the Levitical priesthood. He shows the superiority of Jesus over the law. But in this right here, these verses, he's showing the superiority. In fact, actually, he says in this passage, the angels of God, they worship him. Well, the lesser worships the greater, isn't that right? Okay, so this verse here, see, I know he's talking about angels because he's quoting it from Psalms 104, verse 7. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. So he's talking about angels there, making angels spirits and making them flames of fire. Now, it's actually referencing Psalms. You can go back over to Psalms 104 and verse 4. Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flaming fire. Some translations have lightnings right there. John G. Lake used to talk about the lightnings of God. I like that. Amen. So he's talking about angels being like a flame of fire, but every vision that he shows me about us being baptized in the Holy Ghost, every time he shows it to me, we are ministers like a flaming fire. Every time I see it, we're baptized in the Holy Ghost. Remember that one we had, a year or two ago? It showed a man walking, and he's completely burning. And actually, it showed, little drips of fire was coming off his hands. Boy, that's not a picture of us. Now, I know he's talking about angels there. Don't write me no letters. But I am convinced, because he keeps showing me these pictures, we are supposed to be like flames of fire ourselves. I believe that. We are ministers. We are baptized in the Holy Ghost. And when you walk in the room, the devils ought to tremble and not the other way around. Hallelujah. Now, when the wind blows on the flame. Now, the flame has got to be there. By the way, if the wind blows and there's no flame, is there any tornado? No. You must. What is that? Well, what are you saying? You must be born again. This is part of why Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Well, this is the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father. You remember when we went through that a few weeks or months ago? The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of the Father. Jesus actually said he proceeds from the Father. Okay? So it's the Father in you. He's doing the work. So no man comes to the Father. Let me say the Father in you except by me. You must be born again. You have to have the life of Christ on the inside of you to access this. The Spirit of the Father. Boy. Quiet in this church. When the wind blows on the flame, though, see, if you're truly born again. When the wind blows on the flame is greatly increased. You could say it this way. That initial flame, once you see it, is it still there? Once you see it like that, would you say that flame, remember how little it was in the pot? Would you say that flame has been strengthened with might by the wind of the Holy Spirit in the vessel? God, that's a picture right there. That is Ephesians 3:16-17, right there. That's a picture of it. When your flame, your spirit gets strengthened with might by His Spirit, when the wind blows on the inside of you, from the devil's point of view, that's you walking up. You're a minister of fire. You're a flame of fire. You've come to bring destruction to His kingdom. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, dunamis, who went about doing good and healing all, I can't say it enough, all that were oppressed of the devil. And we're supposed to walk as He walked. See, my religious upbringing says, yeah, but that's Jesus. Who do you think you are? A disciple. Jesus said, the disciple is not above his master. But a disciple should be as his master. John said it this way. We should walk as he walked. Well, Jesus said, believers, those that believe on my name, those that believe on me, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, see, I will do it. That is Christ in you. I hope you see this. When His life in you joins forces with God the Holy Ghost, now the Anointed One, Christ, the Anointed One, dwells in your heart by faith. And from the devil's point of view, that's what you look like. Can we play it one more time? Just from the, I think it's good to, I've seen it a bunch of times. Hallelujah.
So we've got half an inch of kerosene in there. Just Just going to light it, step back and let it build up, and then we'll turn the fans on, okay?
All right, I'm ready on a phantom.
Here we go.
Yeah, that's lit.
Okay, just let it build up.
Go for it.
Yeah. Perfect spiral. Look at that. That's wicked.
Smith Wigglesworth would say, I am 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. I think I'm understanding a little better what he meant. Because really, this is small compared to what God can do. If y'all remember the one we played, I didn't bring it for today's lesson, but the one we played before, remember how that, the sound of it, just the throbbing of it. We have no idea who we are. But I think after today we're going to have a better idea of Christ in us. See, it is the Father in me. He doeth the works. Isn't that right? But then for us, he said, Christ, he would say, I in them. See, you can't have this without the flame's got to be there. You got to be lit. That's Christ in me. I in them. But Father, thou in me. Oh my goodness, it just fits. It fits perfectly. So I'm going to end this lesson the same way we did the last one. If it's okay with you. I think we should pray this prayer. I'm going to ask you to start thinking, at least thinking, about praying this daily. Now before I do it, I got one more note I want to give you. You do know the word pneuma, which is Holy Spirit. Hagios pneuma in the Greek. Hagios, holy, pneuma. It's so interesting to me that pneuma, you can find it translated three ways. It means spirit. It means breath. And it means wind. There came the sound of a rushing mighty wind. The Holy Spirit is the holy breath. He is the holy wind. And when the holy wind blows on your lit candle, when he blows on your lit lamp, this is the end result. And we wind up being strengthened with dunamis by his spirit in our inner man. It's good. It's good. All right, so let's pray this. Not Hebrews won't work. Wait a minute. Ephesians chapter 3. You just repeat after me. We're just going to pray the same prayer that Paul prayed. Don't be afraid. You can pray this. It's scriptural. Okay. Father, I bow my knee unto you, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, The whole family in heaven and earth is named after you. Father, I'm asking that you would give unto us according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might, dunamis, power, by your Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we are rooted and grounded in love, and that we're able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length, the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Father, I'm praying that we be filled with all the fullness of God. Father, it's you that does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to this power, this might, this dunamis that works in us. Father, it's you doing the works. We receive this might by faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Now, a friend of mine who's a little farther along on this than I am, he said he knows from experience. He's older than me too, by the way. He's older than me. He says, I already found out. I can tell you ahead of time. You get that spirit of might working on the inside of you, the outside of you will be taken care of. See, we're lessons way ahead. Christ nourishes and cherishes his own flesh. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. When your body becomes his body. He says, you get this might working on the inside, it'll take care of the outside. Don't you worry. Hallelujah. All right. I got to stop. We're going somewhere. I'm excited about this. I hope we never lose that picture. That your spirit be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I'm going to say it again. Blow, Holy Spirit. Blow, Holy Spirit. Wind of God, breath of God, come. But it comes from his presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Boy, just play for just a moment. Let's just listen for a moment. Thank you. at this stage is where we normally would have a healing line. And we have people that need healing here. I can use some more healing. I'm walking straighter. I don't know if you've noticed, but I am walking straighter than I was. I'm going to be walking perfect before long. And normally this is the point where we would have a healing line. And if you really want healing, if you want to be prayed for, but I'm telling you, he is schooling us away from the lines. I'm getting the nod yes from Alan's got the same witness. He's just schooling us. You got the healer on the inside of you. The Holy Ghost does not belong to any minister any more than he belongs to you. You yourself have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, and he's the manifester. It's Christ in us. Christ in us. So, since lay your hand right smack on your forehead. Everybody, whether you've got pain or not. Say, I lay hands on myself. I declare I speak to my body. You are healed by the stripes of Jesus. I command you to be healthy and whole. Holy Spirit, flow through this body. Dunamis, flow through this body. I call my body healed. I say I'm healthy. And I'm strong. And I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus. I am healed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now move something. Move something. Come on. Hallelujah. Look at Gary. Look at that. Look at that. Come on. Come on. See. Hallelujah. I'm walking straighter than ever now, or in a long time. Come on. Y'all know it's been years. I've been working on this. Hallelujah. And pretty soon that healing is going to escape your bucket. I like bucket. Meat sack. It's going to escape our meat sack. That flat, people going, you're going to walk in the room and they go, you feel that heat? Remember that guy? You feel that heat? You feel that force? What happened? You walked in the room. And they go, oh, you feel that? What's that? The anointed one's in her. It'll take care of your body first, too. Hallelujah. All right.